I'm working a little bit ahead on the timelines that I've got for the Sunday morning class, and it is fascinating. Sometimes I wonder if I spend too much time on it. Right now I'm in the book of 1 Kings and trying to figure out where 2 Chronicles fits in all that and banging my head up against a wall on some of these things, but one of the things I noticed, and it's one of the things that you really don't notice unless you read through a particular book, is the interactions between King Ahab and the prophet Elijah. I know Dan had a devotional a few months ago on one of those interactions, but I want to try to look at each of them and just consider them for a moment. There are three instances where Ahab and Elijah interact. And the first one is in 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And then God told Elijah to get out of there. Leave. Why do you suppose that is? Well, he tells them to leave because Jezebel and Ahab aren't too kind to the prophets at this time. And so there is a danger of Elijah being killed. So he tells him to leave. And how long are they without water? Well, they're without water for 3.5 years. It doesn't come back until the end of chapter 18. And we're not told, it should be obvious to Ahab why this is the case, why this particular thing is going to happen. But apparently, at least by the second time they meet, it's not as obvious as one might think. Looking at the next instance is in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah's wandering about, and then he comes back and presents himself to Ahab. And Ahab, in verse 17, "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And then Elijah bounces back and says, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals.'" So according to Ahab's perspective, he thinks that Elijah is the one that is the troubler of Israel. But instead, Elijah corrects him and tells him, "No, no, no, you're the troubler because of the idolatry and all the terrible things that you have been doing lately." Well, now it's clear to Ahab what the issue is, at least from Elijah's perspective. He might not necessarily believe Elijah. Who knows? But the third time we see them is in 1 Kings chapter 21. This is after Ahab has whined and complained to his wife, saying, "Naboth wouldn't give me this vineyard." And so Jezebel, his wife, says, "Oh, why are you crying? You're the king. You can handle it." And so she writes letters to the people in Naboth's village, and they end up falsely accusing him and killing him. And so now the vineyard is up for grabs, and so Ahab goes up and takes it. And Elijah comes out, and he says that this is not a good thing. In verse 20, Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." So the progression that we see between these interactions, Ahab's reaction anyway, the first one, he doesn't have a reaction because Elijah leaves before he can make one. The next one is that you, O troubler of Israel? And the third one, Have you found me, O my enemy? So it no longer is the enemy of Israel. Elijah is no longer the enemy of Israel. He realizes that it's him. He is the enemy of Elijah, and in turn, the enemy of God. So he recognizes the truth. Elijah's not the trouble of Israel, but Ahab's enemy. Why? Well, we can see quite a few things, but particularly the influence of his wife. In verse 25, "But there was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up." Now, this is not against wives, this lesson. What this is, though, is against people that we are close to, and that may not have our best interest at heart, that may want to stir us up in a direction that we should not go. In our class today, we talked about Titus, and we talked about the influence. Well, we didn't talk about the influence. We talked about that this past Sunday. But we talked about the character of the people on Crete, about how they were likely drunkards, a lot of them anyway. And so we see that Paul is trying to get the Cretans, Christians anyway, to stay away from that kind of thing. But we know that the influence of the people around us makes it very easy for us to fall for sin. Makes it very easy for us not to lose self-control, to keep ourselves away from the sobriety that we ought to have. And that is most certainly the case with the people in your own home. If they are not a Christian, if they are not someone who has your best interest in mind, if they are not someone who wants you to be all that you can be for Christ, then you have a problem. That's one of the important reasons why we have that we ought to marry Christians. Because then we're surrounded by someone, if we don't, we're surrounded by someone who doesn't, they might think they have our best interest at heart, but they don't have our best interest when it comes to our eternal soul. So, what we need to do is recognize those influences in our life. And, you know, I have a feeling if Ahab had recognized the influence that Jezebel was, he wouldn't have gotten any better. He might have been just a little bit better, though. Might have just been a little bit better. I mean, he still had a lot of terrible traits. But Solomon was like that, wasn't he? He was a righteous man, and he fell for the love of his wives. Let us maintain our sobriety. Let us maintain our self-control. Let us save our minds. Keep ourselves from sin. And recognize that if somebody tries to tell you that you're doing wrong, they're not the enemy of, they're not a troubler of something. They are your enemy. And you don't have to stay that way. Ahab could have changed. He could have made himself no longer the enemy of God. In fact, at the end of this chapter, at the end of chapter 21, he humbles himself and the terrible thing that was told that was going to happen to him wasn't going to happen to him anymore because he had humbled himself and repented of his sin. So, we need to make sure that we are repenting of our sin, and if we find somebody that we, someone who has our best interest at heart spiritually, if we find out that they're our enemy,
who's the one that needs the change? It's not that person, it's you. So let us maintain our spiritual purity, and if that's something that we have trouble with, we have a chance now to make that right before God. If we need to get that started, get our Christian life started, so that we are on a track to heaven, so that we are no longer the enemy of someone who is an elder, perhaps, or a preacher, then we can make that right today. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.